It's time for our weekly catch-up with ACT Party Deputy Leader Brooke Van Velden.
At a Parliament sitting yesterday, David Seymour asked if the Minister of Finance, Grant Robertson, had seen any reports about New Zealanders' increasing concern about the cost of living in Aotearoa, and, if so, what he was doing to get inflation under control. In response to that, Robertson said that the government has continued initiatives to support low-income New Zealanders and that he looks forward to the members' support for any upcoming minimum wage increase. Since this sitting, ACT has published a press release on their website with their thoughts and opinions on Grant Robertson's response. In this press release, they wrote that ACT would put a moratorium on minimum wage increases. The press release explains that ACT believes an increase in minimum wage would heap more costs onto businesses and stop businesses from making a profit. In other news, Workplace Relations and Safety Minister Michael Wood announced yesterday the release of a new workplace vaccination tool. This new tool is meant to help businesses who are not covered by the My Vaccine Pass mandate to assess whether vaccinations should be required for their workers. This tool is still being developed, but in yesterday's announcement, Minister Michael Wood said that this tool will specify four factors, and at least three of those factors must be met before it would be reasonable to require vaccination for a particular work. These factors include how large the space is that people work in, how closely people are to others, and finally, whether they provide services to people who are vulnerable to COVID-19. This morning, I spoke with ACT Party's Brooke Van Velden about these two topics to hear how she feels about minimum wage increases, as well as hear what she has to say about the new workplace vaccination tool. I began by asking her why ACT believes that a moratorium should be put on minimum wage increases.
Well, the ACT Party believes that in the time of the COVID crisis, businesses are really hurting. And you don't have to look very far to see the fact that the government doesn't take into account the well-being of businesses and how they go and help people, you know, through employment and help the economy keep moving. And, you know, there have just been so many rules and regulations and responsibilities put on business owners over the last few years. But we are really concerned that in a pandemic, people actually have jobs to go to, because if we keep piling on the costs and the responsibilities, there are businesses that are hurting who will close their doors. You just look in the last year, the government has piled on another holiday day. They've added extra sick leave costs to businesses. The costs just keep going up. And yesterday, the government signalled once again that there'd be a minimum wage increase. And this is on top of a new law that they're passing through under urgency, saying that if an employee doesn't have a vaccine, the employee can have 4 days paid for, 4 weeks, sorry, paid for by the employer to make up their mind on whether they want to get a vaccine. I mean, there are just so many businesses struggling, and we need to understand that if businesses go under, employment does too.
So you're saying that you're concerned with businesses failing. Do you have any sympathy, however, for, you know, the minimum wage workers themselves who currently work on a wage that doesn't allow them to sustain a family or potentially their own way of living?
Oh, look, I have a huge amount of sympathy for anybody who's struggling to put food on the table at the moment. But I also look at the reality that is a lot of people who are on minimum wage jobs, in particular work in the hospitality sector. And the hospitality sector has been hugely hit under COVID. You've had bars and cafes who haven't been able to open properly for months, coming up to years of being stressed. And you just have to think of the hairdresser that we heard from a few days ago. She says that since the last lockdown, she had managed to build up about $100,000 in capital to keep her business and her employees going. Because of this latest lockdown, she has lost all of that money and she has remortgaged her home. I'm concerned that if we don't take into consideration the well-being of businesses and keep imposing more costs on them, we will have people who won't have a job to go to. I'm more concerned that people have a job to go to rather than having an extra 50 cents.
But if minimum wage workers did have a higher minimum wage, then wouldn't this help the economy and communities? Because essential workers will, you know, if they get a pay rise, they will spend that money on the community and on local businesses. And it will help those businesses that you say could be harmed by this increase.
Every cost increase adds to inflationary pressure, which just means that everybody who earns a little bit more than somebody on minimum wage would then also go up, and that imposes more costs on businesses. So it's a self-fulfilling cycle where everything goes up in cost.
But minimum wage workers are hit hardest by this rising inflation because other things will continue to rise in costs, you know, including things like food, fuel, rent. So why should the minimum wage stay stagnant while other things continue?
We need to understand how wages actually come about, and that's because businesses are paying for them, because people are having outputs and they're creating services and goods that people want to consume. If you have people who own a business, for example, a cafe that's been struggling in Auckland, who has gone through hundreds of thousands of dollars of loss and isn't going to be making a profit, they are in a very sticky situation where they're having to choose between laying off a staff member or going completely broke. That is not a reality that we want to be putting more businesses under pressure and just saying, well, it's just too hard, so I just can't keep going. You know, the wage subsidy helped people throughout the COVID lockdowns with their wages. It hasn't helped businesses with their ongoing costs like their rent, their accommodation, their insurance, so many payments, and people's businesses are suffering and going under. People are having to make these really dire calculations. I'm more concerned that people will have a job to go to rather than ending up on the dole.
So if a moratorium was put on minimum wage, do you think businesses would stop failing for good?
I think it's important that we're signalling to businesses that we're understanding the pressures that they face and that they are hurting. When you add on extra holiday pay, you add on extra sick leave, you're now saying as a business, if your employee doesn't want to get the vaccine, they can take 4 weeks and you have to pay them with no consideration at all.
But especially for essential workers, isn't that well deserved?
Sorry, what's well deserved?
Especially for essential workers, kind of looking in the context of COVID-19 and their contribution to the fight against it, isn't, you know, an increase in minimum wage a reward for all of their hard work? Because their role is quite crucial to our everyday living.
Essential workers have been doing an awful lot of work during lockdown, but we also need to acknowledge that people have been doing those jobs because they have jobs to go to. We want to create an environment where business owners can get up in the morning and provide a job for their staff, and they know that they are actually going to have an income coming in tomorrow to pay their staff. There is a lot of stress at the moment. Having a extra holiday pay, having these extra entitlements being put on, it is all adding up, and we are hearing from businesses who are wondering whether they should just close their doors. I don't want to see us being in a situation where businesses feel like they're under such pressure from the government, who doesn't understand the pressures that they actually face on any given day, that we end up with people feeling like it's too much and laying off their employees. We need to give businesses a break.
Well, let's now talk about our next topic, the new workplace vaccination tool. Do you think this could be a good guideline for businesses that aren't covered in the My Vaccine Pass mandate?
I think what's happening with the vaccine pass that we're rushing through under urgency today is that it's clear that the government did need to make sure that there was some clarity, that businesses knew what their rights and responsibilities and obligations to their staff under the law would be. But we do have huge concerns that the law is still unclear because it's being rushed through so quickly. If you look at the advice that the government's received on this, We're not going to be able to see that advice until the end of January. So the government is asking us to vote for a law that we don't know all of the risk assessments of until January. But it's also very unclear still about what the obligations are on an employer. You know, if you take the example of a bar owner that I was talking to, he said, I'm still unsure under this law how it's supposed to work. If somebody who's supposed to sign in with their vaccine pass refuses to do so and just comes on in, is it my obligation that I'm breaking the law, or does the obligation fall on the person who didn't sign in? Are they the one that is not, that has the responsibility for the fact that they've broken the law? There's a lot that still needs to be uncovered under the secondary legislation that's not actually very clear in this law.
This tool was built from the guidance and advice of WorkSafe, the Council of Trade Unions, Business New Zealand, and public health agencies. And Wood has also said that they tested the tool with stakeholders where it did receive quite a bit of support. Do you think, while there is still work being done on this legislation, that is a good sign that people have been working on this from different areas?
I think it is good that government has understood the pressures that businesses will be facing when we come to the traffic light system, and they needed to have clarity about how they keep their employees safe and create a work environment where they want to come and work, because they might decide that they only want vaccinated people being able to come through their doors, and how that's actually supposed to work in practice. My real concern is that we're only allowing 10 days for businesses to get their heads around this. While you might have big industry groups being able to work with the government, that doesn't mean that your local cafe will be able to understand how this truly works in practice for them, for their staff and for their visitors.
I guess one of the bigger narratives going on regarding vaccines and mandates is, you know, whether it should just be a blanket vaccine mandates for all businesses and workplaces, or if there should just be this continuation of it being only for specific types of workplaces with specific settings, environments, etc. What do you think of this narrative? Is ACT more on the side that there should be blanket vaccine mandates, or that they should be directed towards specific businesses?
I think what the ACT Party has always said is that we needed to have the rules clear for businesses, and it should be up to the businesses to decide whether they can do a risk assessment to say whether they could have a safe environment for people who are vaccinated or unvaccinated to enter into their premises. What the ACT Party has always made clear is that we also believe that people who are unvaccinated should have the ability to have a negative test as well. And it's on the businesses to make that risk assessment. And it's under this law that it also says that businesses would need to conduct an assessment. However, it doesn't actually make it clear what those tools for assessment would look like and what the government expects those businesses to do to make that assessment in the next 10 days. I think that's a shame. They should have given businesses a lot more clarity a lot sooner and picked up ACT's idea a lot earlier on.
That was ACT Party's Brooke Van Velden speaking with me about minimum wage increases and the new workplace vaccination tool.
That was Deputy Leader Brooke Van Velden from the ACT Party.